Գերադար Սիրելի ռադիո ունկնդիրներ, Ամերիկայի հայկական համագումարի շաբաթական ռադիոժամի Կրկին հոսափողի մոտն է Միքայել Թումաջյան։ Առաջի կեսին մենք զրույց ունեցանք Տեր Վազգեն Հանա Բոյաջյանի հետ, որ հոգևոր հովիվն է Սիարլի Սուրբ Հարությունյան եկեղեցու։ Այս երկրորդ կեսին պիտի խոսենք ուրեմն այդ եկեղեցու ղեկավարներից, սխական խորհրդի անդամներից և մի շատ հիանալի երիտասարդ Ալեքս Էսիբովի հետ։ Եվ այդ զրույցը պիտի ունենանք անգլերեն լեզվով։ Dear Alex, welcome to the weekly radio hour of the Armenian Assembly of America. We're honored to have you on, like Der Vazgen, during the first half of our session. Alex, I'd like to talk about where Der Vazgen left off, and that we were discussing the hate incident that took place at Holy Resurrection Armenian Church the Sunday after Easter. And Der Vazgen, of course, described what he saw when he entered the church, the damage behind the altar with the shattered glass all over. Tell us a little bit about your reaction when you first saw it or heard about it, and the reaction of the community, and what the community with the parish council and Der Vazgen leading the way, what the community has done to raise awareness about this in the greater community.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, thank you for having me on. Honored to be here as well. When we first found out about this was, like you mentioned, the Sunday after Easter, and it was sandwiched right between Easter, an occasion where we all gather together joyously, and the 105th anniversary of the commemoration of the Armenian Genocide. So another situation where we all gather, but obviously less joyously in that second one. So it was a very emotional time for everybody, both in a good and bad way. And given the sort of the current stay-at-home orders and the situation across the country and across the world, it was a time when everybody felt isolated when they're used to being together with the rest of the community. So I think this incident, this hate crime, it hit especially hard for the community, because everybody was feeling that isolation already. And now they know that their spirituality was again hit in this particular situation by this crime. And they weren't able to gather, or we weren't able to gather as we normally would, to talk about it, to talk through it, to sort of share our emotions about it. But that said, I think the community rallied incredibly well. So we posted about this on Facebook. We reached out to our community over sort of the email alias where we all talk to each other, and the outpour of support, both, you know, spiritually with prayers and actually financially, was tremendous. So I'm on the parish council as well as a deacon in the church. And so we met as a parish council the next day after this, after we'd learned about the incident, and started talking about camera systems that we could put into place to start monitoring. And we raised enough money to put those camera systems into place and not dip into our own funds, literally like by the next day. So we were
That's great.
Yeah, it was awesome. We were able to gather those funds, buy a really nice state-of-the-art sort of system to do all of that monitoring. And we had a couple volunteers that dedicated a bunch of their own time, came into the church, and immediately started that installation. So the outpour of help, both within our community and also just in the local area that I can talk about too, is tremendous.
And so when the incident happened, certainly you notified police department, and in this case, it's the Redmond Police Department, because the church is located in a suburb, in a very popular suburb in Greater Seattle, and that's town of Redmond, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We filed a police report the same day with the city of Redmond, and I mentioned that sort of local support as well. the police was fantastic. So they were super engaged. We filed that report. They were there, even though it was a non-emergency call. They were there within minutes. We talked to them through everything that we knew that had happened. They promised to increase patrol in the area. And since then, they've reached out even unsolicited just to check in and see how we're doing and how they can continue to help support us.
And they started an investigation, is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So they filed a report and they started an investigation.
And in addition to the city, who else have you reached out to? Who else has the church reached out to in terms of the media or perhaps the greater community? Have you done some outreach in that respect?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the first things that we did within that week was we created a press release and we submitted it to a bunch of sort of the local news stations. Q13, which is the local Fox station, picked it up near instantaneously too. So I actually did a news story with them that aired later that same week. So we were able to get some visibility into this incident, into this hate crime with the local news. Since then, we've also talked to the Anti-Defamation League. They reached out as well. We've had an active conversation ongoing with them about any assistance and awareness and guidance that they can provide. The Faith Action Network as well also reached out to express their condolences and solidarity and sort of say, hey, we stand with you on this. So we've had a really, really solid show of support locally throughout the area among Armenians and non-Armenians.
That's great to hear, the outpouring of support from the greater community. Are you also in touch with elected officials?
So we probably could do a bit better with that. We've got that press release created and printed, and we've circulated it. We could probably be a bit even more systematic about getting in touch with elected officials in the area as well.
Sounds good. Well, you know, it's always in such circumstances, hearing from faith-based groups, hearing from groups that you know have also borne the brunt of such hate crimes is a good thing, because they stand in solidarity with the victim of such a crime, and they're there to show support, to perhaps lend some guidance based on their own experiences, sad experiences. But at the same time, it's important, I think, for the healing process as well, because certainly, as Father Vazquez mentioned, parishioners are in a state of shock, and were, especially in the day and the days right after the incident, were in a state of shock. For many, these were people who were forcibly expelled from Baku and Sumgay in Azerbaijan, and had to find refuge in Russia and in other parts of the former Soviet Union. Some found refuge in Armenia, but that was only a temporary refuge, as many families, including your own, if I'm not mistaken, ended up being settled in the U.S. And eventually made it to Seattle. Could you shed some light on your own family's experiences of upheaval and and spanning generations?
Yeah, absolutely. You're dead on. My parents were both born in Baku. And they actually fled from Baku during the pogroms. They found themselves in Moscow, which is where they met, and where I was born, actually. And then in 1993, we fled on refugee status over to the United States. So we actually ended up settling on the East Coast in Rhode Island before my dad got a job at Microsoft in 1998, I believe. And that was when we sort of hopped coasts and made it over to the Seattle area, where we've now been for over 20 years. It's a super similar story for a lot of folks in our community. We have a vibrant community in the Seattle area, and there's a lot of folks with very similar stories who also found themselves in the Seattle area for the tech industry.
You mentioned a vibrant community in the Seattle area. A good percentage are Armenians hailing from Baku, Sumgay, parts of Azerbaijan, from Nagorno-Karabakh. Is that right? It's one of the largest centers of that specific diaspora group of Armenians.
Yeah, I believe that's the case. I don't have numbers in front of me to say like it's top 10 or top 20, but absolutely, yeah, there's a lot of Baku Armenians in our area.
Yeah. And I think San Diego has a sizable community in Arizona, Phoenix, Tucson area does as well. Tell us, Alex, you're involved with the church, certainly, and Derhai talked about the wonderful work that the community is doing with the recent construction of the building, the multi-purpose building, which serves as a mm-hmm. school, which is near the church on the same property and as the church. Tell us about community life in general. It appears that a lot of Armenians are moving to Seattle these days from other cities across the U.S. Father Boskin mentioned also from Canada, and they're moving for job reasons. The fact that there's gainful employment in Seattle, in the Seattle area. If you could shed light, I believe you mentioned you work for Microsoft. Tell us, is that the prime motivator for Armenians moving to the greater Seattle area these days?
Yeah, I think it's definitely one of them. So I don't know how much Father Vazgen talked to you about numbers and all that, but I think we've got something like 3,000 families of Armenian origin or descent in our community in the greater Seattle area now. And definitely one of the big sort of reasons why there's so many Armenians in the area is for the tech. I myself work at Microsoft. My fiance is at Microsoft. I've got a bunch of family at Microsoft. My dad's at Google. We've got friends at Amazon and Boeing and all sorts of tech companies, as well as a bunch of small business owners across a bunch of different industries. So I definitely think the job market in the Seattle area has helped form this Armenian community in the Pacific Northwest. It's also what I really have liked to see in the last year or so is sort of as the community's gotten bigger, that maybe the jobs were one of the original reasons that the community got as big as it is. But now there's people that are moving to our area in the Armenian community that have specifically cited that they moved to Seattle because there's a vibrant Armenian community. In addition to the tech center being one of those main reasons, it's great to see that the community itself is attracting more people into our community.
That's really wonderful to hear, Alex. And I know the area, having been up there on a couple occasions in recent memory, and having met you and Father Vazgen and fellow leaders of Holy Resurrection Armenian Church, I got a sense that there's mission, there's a mission, there's purpose. The community's energized to build and develop and have programming for the youth, for example. And it's so pleasing to hear, as Father Vazgen mentioned, that 80 kids are part of the Sunday school right now, and there's 13 teachers that are teaching these 80 kids. I mean, it's just really, really positive. And what you just said, the community also being a motivator in addition to the employment, the marketplace for new jobs, that the community itself is a draw for people to move from California, which is one of the, Father Vazgen stated that Californians are moving to the Pacific mm-hmm. Northwest because of jobs and because of the growing community there. Alex, we've got about roughly 5 to 6 minutes left. I wanted to hear your thoughts about some of the advocacy that you and other leaders are doing there on the ground. Certainly, when I've been up to schedule meetings with members of Congress and their staff, you've been forthcoming, other leaders have been forthcoming to meet with elected officials and to shed light on pressing matters of concern to you as constituents of these leaders. Tell us a little bit about why that's important to do the outreach to elected officials and their staff.
Yeah, Absolutely. So, like you mentioned, we've done more in the last little bit than we did previously of outreaching to elected officials. And I think the main important thing to capture there is just to let them know that, hey, we're here. We represent this vibrant and growing and sizable part of your community. And there are issues and funding and sort of things that are important to us that we need to be able to secure. So we've been able to go in an organized manner, of course, led by folks like you who have experience in this matter, be able to go talk to these elected officials and talk to them and make them more informed about issues like the genocide, issues near and dear to our hearts, and sort of express to them that, hey, there's this growing constituency of people who have a lot of open wounds about issues like this and would love to hear them represent our cause.
And if I may add, you know, back in late October of 2019, when the House of Representatives had its historic vote on the Armenian Genocide and passed overwhelmingly in a bipartisan manner, memory serves correct, the entire House delegation from the state of Washington voted in favor of passing the Armenian Genocide resolution. I'm pretty certain of that. I don't think there were any holdouts either who may have sat out the vote. I'm pretty certain that every member, Republican and Democrat, who attended and who voted that day voted in favor. I also know that certainly because the Senate version in December passed unanimously, Senator Murray, Senator Cantwell certainly were on board the Senate's version of the Armenian Genocide resolution and its passing. I'm also aware that Senator Cantwell voted in favor recently, or actually co-signed a letter addressed to a Senate committee calling for continued U.S. assistance to the Republic of Artsakh for demining purposes, for the purpose of getting rid of mines and other lethal ordnance. And so that's the junior senator from the state of Washington, your Senator Maria Cantwell, who came through on that letter. And this is all a part and parcel of the work that you guys are doing on the ground, getting your voices heard by elected officials at all levels, not just at the federal level, the national level, but also at the local level. I believe you are in touch, is that right, with a member of the Redmond City Council as well, is that right?
That's correct.
In light of the hate incident that took place.
Yep, that's right. I probably should have mentioned them. There's this growing list of folks who have done outreach to and that have organically reached out to us. But you're totally right. The Redmond City Council as well has shown their support for our community during this trying time as well.
That's great to hear. We've got just under 2 minutes left. If you could just encapsulate, you know, once the COVID era and the public health departments, and we know that like California, New York, New Jersey, the state of Washington took it pretty hard as well. The initial outbreaks certainly were coming from the state of Washington. If you could just shed light, how are things going up there with respect to COVID, and how's the community handling it? We've got like a minute and a half.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a really interesting question, and I think the people of Washington, much like Armenians in and of ourselves, are extremely resilient. We've seen incredible cooperation in our community and in Washington State with the sort of the guidance that the governor and the various elected officials have put out. So our community has responded by doing all the right things, listening to the stay-at-home order, but being able to sort of continue their spirituality throughout these trying times. So we've seen we're doing services online. We're conducting the Barak services online, and we've seen dozens and dozens of our parishioners tune in, provide support, and pray with us, even if they're doing it remotely. So this event, which obviously this hate crime, nobody wanted this, nobody asked for this, but to see the incredible rallying of our community, despite being remote, has been incredibly rewarding.
Wow, truly amazing. And for our dear listeners, if you'd like to tune in on Sundays at 10 a.m., I believe that starting at 10 a.m. Sunday services, Sunday Mass. Is that right, Alex?
10:30. Yeah.
10:30. Starting at 10:30 a.m. On Facebook, just look for Holy Resurrection Armenian Church of Seattle, and you'll be able to tune in to the Sunday Mass, Father Vazgen, and his sermon every Sunday starting at 10:30 a.m. Dear listeners, with that, I will wrap up this week's Armenian Assembly of America Radio Hour broadcast. My guest for the second half was Alex Esibov, who is a parish council member and a deacon of Holy Resurrection Armenian Church of Seattle. We're grateful to him and Father Vazgen for joining us today. Սիրելի ռադիոընկերներ, շնորհակալ ենք ձեր ուշադրության համար, ինչ նոր հանդիպումներ, մնացեք բարով.